7. Toward a Science of Consciousness. In order for the study of consciousness to be complete, we need a methodology that would account not only for what is occurring at the neurological and biochemical levels, but also for the subjective experience of consciousness itself. Even when combined, neuroscience and behavioral psychology do not shed enough light on the subjective experience, as both approaches still place primary importance on the objective, third-person perspective. Contemplative traditions on the whole have historically emphasized subjective, first-person investigation of the nature and functions of consciousness by training the mind to focus in a disciplined way on its own internal states. In this kind of analysis, the observer, the object, and the means of investigation are all aspects of the same thing, namely, the mind of the individual experimenter. In Buddhism, this mental training is called bhavana, which is usually translated as meditation in English. The original Sanskrit term bhavana carries connotations of cultivation in the sense of cultivating a habit, while the Tibetan term gom literally means to familiarize. So the idea is a disciplined mental practice of cultivating familiarity with a given object, whether an external object or an internal experience. People often understand meditation to refer simply to an emptying of the mind or a relaxation practice, but that is not what I mean here. The practice of gom does not imply any mysterious or mystical state or ecstasy open only to a few gifted individuals, nor does it entail non-thinking or the absence of mental activity. The term gom refers both to a means or a process and to a state that may arise as a result of the process. I'm concerned here primarily with gom as a means, which implies a rigorous, focused, and disciplined use of introspection and mindfulness to probe deeply into the nature of a chosen object. From the scientific point of view, this process can be compared with rigorous empirical observation. The difference between science as it stands now and the Buddhist investigative tradition lies in the dominance of the third-person objective method in science and the refinement and utilization of first-person introspective methods in Buddhist contemplation. In my view, the combination of the first-person method with the third-person method offers the promise of a real advance in the scientific study of consciousness. A great deal can be accomplished by the third-person method. As brain imaging technologies become ever more effective, it is possible to observe closely the physical correlates of our rich world of subjective experience, such as neural connections, biochemical changes, the locations in the brain associated with specific mental activities, and temporal processes, often at the minute level of milliseconds, by which the brain responds to external stimuli. I had the pleasure of seeing this firsthand when I visited Richard Davidson's laboratory at the University of Wisconsin in Madison during the spring of 2001. This is a brand new lab with state-of-the-art brain imaging technology and instruments. Davidson has a young and exciting group of colleagues there, and one of his projects, of special interest to me, is an ongoing series of experiments on meditators. He showed me around and demonstrated the different machines. There was an EEG, electroencephalograph, primarily used to detect electrical activity in the brain. This is made like a cap to fit on the head with many sensors attached to it, and apparently the one in Davidson's lab, with 256 sensors, is among the most sophisticated in the world. In addition, there was an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging machine, which is so sensitive that the subject has to be very still while inside for an accurate reading to take place. The strength of the EEG, I am told, is its speed. Astoundingly, it can detect changes in the brain within a thousandth of a second. While the power of the MRI lies in its ability to pinpoint locations of brain activity to within a millimeter. The day before my visit, they had used these machines in a detailed experiment involving an experienced meditator, whom I have known for a long time, performing a variety of meditation practices. Davidson showed me a computer screen with many scanned images of the subject's brain, with different colors indicating different types of activity.